앉아오. 됐다. ¿Quieres que no tiene horario? Ni vencia ni calendario, caballo.
And they were delighting us during the program with music from Peru, Brasil, Colombia, Cuba, Venezuela, y Paraguay. Gracias. That was a great way to start our program. And welcome to the 2010 Glendale Hispanic Network Luncheon, sponsored by the city's Hispanic Network. I'm Diana Diaz from SRP, and I'll be serving as your MC. I'm so happy to be here today at this wonderful event. It's always such a pleasure, especially today, the 16th of September, to celebrate our Hispanic heritage and the wonderful diversity within our Hispanic culture, and that we heard with that music from all of our beautiful countries that represent Latin America and South America. This year marks the 42nd anniversary of what began as National Hispanic Heritage Week in 1968, as designated by Congress. And in 1988, that was expanded to a month-long celebration, rightfully so. 1 week would never be enough for a Hispanic party. We need more time. And we celebrate and the traditions and the culture of those who trace their roots to Spain, Mexico, and the Spanish-speaking nations of Central America, South America, and the Caribbean. Hispanic Heritage Month is an opportunity to celebrate the spirit and achievements of Hispanic Americans everywhere, and especially here at the city of Glendale. This year, we're celebrating the educational achievements of our youth in the community, understanding that education is the foundation of advancing our society. We're happy to host students from the Glendale Community College and Glendale Union High School District who are participants of the ACE program. We welcome you and hope you enjoy the program. Later in the program, you're going to hear from Armando Flores, who has served in the private and public sector and is committed to working closely with the community in advancing education. But now it's time to present Ernie Ruiz from the Glendale Field Operations Department and president of the Glendale Hispanic Network, who would like to extend his welcome on behalf of the wonderful organization that put on today's event. Welcome, Ernie.
Thank you, Diana. Good afternoon and welcome to our sixth annual event. It's a pleasure to be here today. The Glendale Hispanic Network was founded in 2002 with the purpose to use its diverse background to develop a mechanism to encourage professional excellence among Hispanic executive, public managers, all City of Glendale employees, and to improve management of local government. The mission of the GHN is to empower employees through professional development and community involvement to ensure continual professional development throughout their careers, and to be responsible, knowledgeable, and productive citizens, and to serve as an effective voice for the community. Right now, I'd like to take this opportunity to introduce the GHN officers. They are, and if you would please stand when I call your name, Lorena Sanchez, President-elect of Human Resources. Martina Longoria, Secretary from Council Office. And Raquel Smith, our treasurer from the finance department. This year, we had a very large planning committee from employees throughout the organization, and I would like to recognize them now. And members, please stand up when you hear your names being called out. Our committee chair this year was John Carnero. Gloria Olaya. Lupi Sierra, Lorena Sanchez, Martina Longoria, Raquel Smith, Paul Hernandez, right here, Paul, Greg Dominguez, Maria Villasano, Manuel Delgado, Lester Cuevas, and Don Logan. Thank you all, committee. You've done a great job. As you can see here today, everybody's done a really good job putting this on. An event such as this is accomplished through cooperation and collaboration. We also want to recognize and thank the Glendale Office of Tourism, the Finance Department, for all their assistance. Without them, we couldn't have gotten this event off the ground. In addition to the GHN board members, we would like to thank our department heads for all their support and the time for putting this event together. Thank you all, and enjoy the event.
Thanks, Ernie. Now please rise as the Glendale High School ROTC Honor Guard performs the presentation of the flag, and Roger Geisler from the Glendale Police Department sings the national anthem.
Dawn's early light, what so proudly we hail at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight o'er the rampart we watched, we're so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Or say, does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave?
Well, let's have a round of applause for the Glendale High School ROTC for their beautiful presentation of the colors, and Officer Geisler for his wonderful presentation of our national anthem. You can be seated now. At this time, we'd like to introduce the Glendale City Council, City Manager, and Interim Assistant City Manager as I ask them to stand. Please welcome Mayor Elaine Scruggs. Vice Mayor Stephen Freight, representing the Saguaro District. Council Member Joyce Clark, representing the Yucca District. Council Member David Goulet, representing the Ocotillo District. Council Member Phil Lieberman, representing the Cactus District. Council Member Manny Martinez, representing the Cholla District. City Manager Ed Beasley. And Interim Assistant City Manager Horatio Skeet. We're also honored to have many representatives from regional companies, local businesses, and especially honored to have our local school representatives, in particular, Mr. Joseph Quintana, Glendale Elementary School Superintendent. And we're also honored to have many representatives from our local universities. Thank you for attending and celebrating our rich Hispanic culture with us here in Glendale. And the Glendale Hispanic Network is very grateful for your support and vision in employee development, which in turn benefits everyone here at the City of Glendale. Now we would like to give a warm welcome to Mayor Elaine Scruggs. While she's coming up, I'll tell you a little bit about her. Mayor Scruggs has served as mayor for Glendale for 17 years. Under her leadership, Glendale has doubled in population, restored its historic downtown into a nationally known tourism destination, and launched landmark neighborhood renewal and citizen participation programs. Please welcome Mayor Scruggs.
Thank you, Diana, and welcome to all of you. It's wonderful to see you here. The energy in the room is just tremendous. As I was driving here hoping I would make it on time, I was looking so much forward to this lunch and where everything, the joy that is always felt in this room at this annual luncheon is tremendous. And I think about how much of the time outside we're bombarded with negative comments and negative information and so forth. And I thought, boy, it's nice to escape every now and then to where people are happy and they're not afraid to express their joy and happiness. So let's enjoy this and let's make sure that we take it back outside. Before I go on to the proclamation, I do want to bring greetings on behalf of Councilmember Yvonne Kanak. You may have noticed that she was missing when the rest of the council was introduced. Councilmember Kanak right now is just having the time of her life down representing the City of Glendale on important municipal water and sewer issues as a member of the Board of Directors of the Arizona Municipal Water Users Association. And if she could have gotten away, she definitely would have. But the agenda items that were going on today needed her to be there to represent Glendale. So I'll bring her greetings for her. I have the honor and the privilege and the pleasure of reading a proclamation today, but even more so to call up and introduce the young man who will be receiving this proclamation. That's Renee Rosales. Renee, you want to head on up here? Renee will be accepting the proclamation on behalf of the community. And Renee was born in Phoenix, raised in Glendale. Ever since Renee can remember, he has aspired to serve the community, state, and our nation. His family instilled the desire to give back to the community, teaching him the endless values of education. He attended Desert Mirage School in the Pendergast Elementary School District, where he currently serves as a school board member. Renee graduated from Westview High School, and while attending high school, he served as United States Congressional Page in the House of Representatives for 1 year. He went on to attend Arizona State University, where he pursued a degree in Chicano Studies with a minor in political science. Renee's goal is to continue his education at Grand Canyon University, where he currently works as an academic counselor. Renee is committed to serving others for the betterment of the community by following the words of Cesar Chavez, who said, "The end of education should surely be service to others." Before I read the proclamation, I'd just like to make a couple personal comments. I had the bio here to read, and Renee and I were just talking a little while ago. It's been a number of years since I've had a chance to see him, and he's accomplished many of these wonderful things during that time. But besides that, I think Renee won't mind if I pay a special tribute to his entire family, who many of us know in many different ways and have worked alongside and have worked with to achieve the same types of goals that Renee aspires to in terms of public service, education, and giving back to the community. So to all the Rosaleses, Hilda, wherever you are, where are you, Hilda? I can't even see her. Ray, your brothers, Marco and Ramon, who are not here today, we really salute you. Come on up here and thank you for being here today to accept this proclamation. Whereas in 1968, Congress created Hispanic Heritage Week, and in 1988, it was extended to a month-long observance to celebrate the Hispanic culture. And whereas Hispanic Americans, who are nurtured by their rich ethnic heritage and inspired by their faith in the principles upon which this country was founded, continue to make their mark across the country and in virtually every aspect of American life. And whereas Hispanics value the importance of higher education in order to reach the American dream and make a positive contribution to our country. And whereas the Hispanic Americans' growing influence and entrepreneurial spirit contributes to economic growth by creating new businesses, jobs, and opportunities. And whereas Hispanic Heritage Month demonstrates the unity and diversity of Hispanics in our community and around the world, including those with roots in Latin American countries throughout North, Central, and South America. Now, therefore, I, Elaine M. Scruggs, Mayor of the City of Glendale, Arizona, on behalf of the City Council, do hereby proclaim September 15th to October 15th, 2010, as Hispanic Heritage Month, and encourage all residents to make this month a time of commitment to the principles of unity, respect, and trust for the betterment of our community.
Hello, everybody. Bienvenidos a todos. Have a little thing prepared. So I want to thank the Glendale Hispanic Network for the invitation for receiving the proclamation on behalf of the Hispanic community. Greatly appreciate that. As for the proclamation that was just read, I would like to reiterate a couple of important points. Congress, the City of Glendale, and I know the State of Arizona have all passed proclamations similar to this one. But have you really taken to the time and taken to heart what has just been proclaimed? As stated in the proclamation, valuing the higher education to reach American dream, to make positive contributions in our country. As we become educated, it leads to opportunities of teaching others and mentoring others, as you probably all have been mentored to be successful in where you guys are today. Secondly, if we are going to proclaim the unity and respect for Hispanic heritage for 1 month, why not follow us year-round? Acknowledging the fact that all cultures in American society contribute positively to our nation's success, and the first step in completing unity, this would be the first step in completing unity and respect. As we look in our community and how it is currently divided, we must find positive contributing characteristics to unite and better and serve our community. I leave, again, what Mayor Lane Scruggs had actually just stated about Cesar Chavez, what he said, the end of all education should truly be service to others. I truly believe that service to others and the community to better serve the state, the city, and our great nation. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Renee and Mayor Scruggs. The City of Glendale and the Hispanic Network is so grateful for your support in promoting diversity. Now, before we start our lunch and our socialization, let's take a few minutes to express our gratitude. Darlene Danninger, the Glendale Police Department chaplain, will now lead us in an invocation.
Let us pray. Our most precious God, Father, our creator and sovereign keeper of our world, this is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. What a beautiful day you painted for us. The skies are so blue and the air is clear and our temperatures are pleasant. We are thankful to live in your beautiful desert. Thank you that we are able to gather together and celebrate the Hispanic heritage in the freedom of the United States. We are a rich nation with every blessing imaginable. And I thank you that you chose us to live in this free country. May we often think of all the riches you have given to us, our freedoms, our safety, our wealth, our health, our homes, cars, jobs, families, friends, and so many other pleasures. We pray for our nation and we ask you to guide, guard, and protect us from the attacks of other nations, national disasters, and increased crime. Please hedge our nation in your protection and love. May we appreciate our days of calm and rest. We pray for your grace and wisdom for the leaders of our nation and the city of Glendale. May they all seek you in the decisions that they are called to make, and may all be done to your honor and glory. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray for our families, our friends, and our loved ones. Please watch over and guide them. And as we gather today to celebrate our Hispanic community, may we remember the talents and compassions you have blessed this community with. We are all richer because of the contributions made by Hispanic Americans living in our city. They have truly blessed our lives with their unique talents in the arts, business, in religion, and education. Today we are thankful that we can gather under one roof to celebrate our uniqueness, our similarities, and our differences. We are all one nation under God, and we rejoice that our common denominator is God. Please guide us in bettering the education of our young people. Show us ways that will cause our young to desire to learn to grow stronger in knowledge. Thank you, God, for sharing Mr. Flores with us and the message of hope that he is preparing today. May we learn from his past years of service and success. Bless those who work so diligently to make this afternoon possible. Thank you for the food that you have so graciously given to us. Bless the hands that have prepared our meals and those who are serving us now. We ask you to put your hand of protection on our city of Glendale as we are gathering. And Lord, we ask that you would guard, guide, and protect our police officers and firefighters who keep us safe and continue to bless their families. Now may the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. I pray this prayer in the name of my personal Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you very much. Now, it wouldn't be a party without dancing. So as part of our celebration, and while we enjoy our lunch, we welcome the Xiomara Colombian Dance Academy. They'll be performing four dances from the wonderful country of Colombia.
Habla con la playa, no tiene por rotular.
Por rotular todo lo cuadra raya, el pecador habla. cantaré, pescador de mi tierra y el pescador de mi tierra, del pescador de mi tierra, del pescador de mi tierra.
Xiomara Colombian Dance Academy. Let's give them another round of applause. And in addition to sharing those dances, the group also wanted us to learn a little bit about the origins of the cumbia. Many of us know how to dance the cumbia. Many of us have heard of it, but how many of us know where it really came from? Well, near the end of the 17th century in the Atlantic coastal towns of Colombia, slave owners gave their slaves, men and women from Africa, as well as the men and women from the conquistadores had taken from local indigenous tribes, they gave them permission to play music and dance on certain holidays. And those dances evolved into the cumbia. Today, the cumbia has evolved into one of Colombia's cultural treasures. Although other musical forms have sprung up, cumbia is still danced and played throughout all of Colombia, has gained a lot of popularity and appreciation around the whole world, and especially at Hispanic weddings. That's the favorite dance of all. The other dance that they're going to perform is called the curulao. Curulao is one of the most African-influenced styles in all of Colombia, and it has its roots among the Afro-Colombians, who are African descendants of black people of the Pacific coast of Colombia. Curralao is a ritual of seduction between men and women. They should dance that on Dancing with the Stars, I think. And today we enjoy these dances to celebrate the wonderful diversity within our beautiful Hispanic culture. Thank you to the Xiomara Colombian Dance Academy, and I believe they have two more dances to perform. So once they get out here, let's be sure to join in with a little bit of rhythm. We know this crowd can be more lively, so let's cheer them on when they come out again. And it's the Xiomara Dance Academy.
Y como un barro mismo que por tus calles vi una morena pasar, una porteña querida fue otra en el encontrar, y en mis noches de tristeza mis penas hacía aliviar.
No, no, no. with you. We're going to do a rendition of five cumbias, the first two sets of songs that you heard. And it's a medley of five, so I hope you like them. And I'm wearing the Hippie Hoppa, which is the hat that he was wearing in the first two songs. It's the hat is originally from the northern part of Colombia, which is what we call the Atlantic coast. And it's called the Hippie Hoppa.
Me contaron los abuelos que hace tiempo navegaba en el César una piragua que partía del banco viejo puerto a la playa de amor en Chirichagua.
Era la piragua de Guillermo Cubillo, era la piragua, y era la piragua, era la piragua de Guillermo Cubillo, era la piragua, y era la piragua, la piragua, la piragua, la piragua.
Me contaron los abuelos que hace tiempo navegaba en el César una piragua que partía del banco viejo puerto a las playas de amor en Chirichagua. Capoteando el vendaval se estremecía, impasible desafiaba la tormenta. Un ejército de estrellas le seguía, capoteándola de luz y de leyenda.
Era la piragua de Guillermo Cubillo, era la piragua, era la piragua, y era la piragua de Guillermo Cubillo, era la piragua, la piragua, la piragua, la piragua.
Mamá, no puedo con ella.
Es que no puedo
ella, no puedo con ella, es que no puedo con ella. Ay, nena, ¿quién te rompió tu mucurita de barro? Fue Pedro que me ayudó, ¿pa' qué me hiciste llamarlo? Ay, nena, ¿quién te rompió tu mucurita de barro? Fue Pedro que me ayudó, ¿pa' qué me hiciste llamarlo? Y es que no puedo con ella.
Mamá, no puedo.
Ay, es que no, no puedo, no, no puedo con ella, mamá.
No puedo.
Ay, es que no puedo, no puedo, no puedo,
mamá. No puedo.
Ay, es que no puedo con ella, mamá. No puedo con ella. Ay, ay, ay. Ay, ay. Esa vaina. Y al sonar de la caña, va a brindarnos los rumores de la negra soledad. La que goza mi cumbia, esa negra será muy de caramba, con su pollera colorada. Por eso le digo a mi negrita, ven, oye, caramba.
Con su pollera colorada.
Ay, que como sanduque a esa negrita soledad.
Con su pollera colorada.
Ay, pa' allá y pa' acá llegamos, oye, morenita, ven pa' acá.
Con su pollera colorada.
Esa aja como le suma ya mamá.
Con su pollera colorada.
Con su pollera colorada. Con su pollera colorada. Con su pollera colorada. Ay, cuando le canto soledad, es que estoy yo contento, porque con su movimiento yo caramba, inspiraciones me llaman, con su color de canela, con su rico sabor a pimienta. Cómo está de contento llegar caramba con su pollera colorada. Por eso le digo a mi negrito, ven, oye, caramba. Ay, que gozando que a esa negrita soledad. Ay, pa' allá y pa' acá esa negrita, ven, oye, vaca. Está ajá como la zumba.
Con su pollera colorada.
Con su pollera colorada. Estoy tan enamorado de mi negra Tomasa, que cuando se va de casa, triste me pongo. Estoy tan enamorado de la negra preciosa, que cuando se va de casa, triste me pongo. Ay, 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 esa negra linda que me vuelve loco, que me come poquito a poco. Esa negra linda que me vuelve loco, que me come poquito a poco.
And we got a little language lesson here today. The director of the group tells me that Pacha means tierra, which means earth, in the language Quechua. So, el grupo Pacha.
Thank you.
All right, now it's time to introduce Manuel Delgado Jr., judge with the City of Glendale Courts and member of the Glendale Hispanic Network.
Good afternoon. When GHN began to plan and coordinate this luncheon, it became apparent that the theme was going to be education. And GHN at that time wanted to take the opportunity to honor and recognize an individual who had made a contribution, not only to education, but to diversity and to cultural awareness in the city of Glendale. After discussion and consideration, the GHN board agreed that Mr. Jose Mendoza would be representative of that individual. The GHN board asked me if I'd be willing to introduce Mr. Mendoza today. Actually, Jose, I missed the last meeting, and I was informed by the event coordinator that it was unanimously decided and voted that I should make this introduction. Now, considering I do handle the civil traffic matters, and considering that the average citizen, even a good citizen, me included, might get a civil traffic violation, I may be just fortunate enough to have one of those encounters with one of those board members. Seriously, though, Jose is well aware of the tremendous respect I have for him and the gratitude I have for him, and I'm extremely honored to have been handed this responsibility for two reasons. One, I am a product of his work, and I am forever grateful to him. Second, I feel fortunate that I'm connected to this city and a city that believes that it's important to support an event to recognize an individual such as Jose for his hard work and dedication. Mr. Mendoza is and has been the program coordinator of the Multicultural Affairs Program for 30-plus years. The philosophy of the program is to provide services intended to motivate members of the minority community to consider and enroll in college. And this is accomplished by assisting potential students with admissions, registration process, developing an educational plan, and helping access financial resources. To this end, Mr. Mendoza has dedicated his life and his career, and he has done it well. Notice that I said his life. Mr. Mendoza does not simply assist a student in this process and then send them out into unfamiliar territory. He takes a personal interest in their lives. And I'm speaking from personal experience. Neither of my parents, paternal, maternal parents, of their parents, nor any of their siblings ever graduated from college. So needless to say, I did not believe that I was college material and that it was a viable choice for me. Fortunately, I was directed to Mr. Mendoza. He persuaded me, and as he has thousands of others who thought they were not college material, that they could graduate from college regardless of a student's socioeconomic status, their race, their culture. Mr. Mendoza is there to convince them that it is possible for them to graduate from college, no matter how dim their circumstances appear. This man has an unquenchable passion to assist others to succeed, and that is a rare attribute in our society. If you would permit me, I would like to read some of Mr. Mendoza's accomplishments from his bio. Arizona Interagency Farm Worker Coalition Statewide Award, 2004. Executive Board, Arizona Association for Chicanos in Higher Education. Founding Collaborator of the Arizona Mathematics, Engineering, Science, and Achievement Program. Participant of the City of Peoria and High School Revitalization Program. Volunteer at the City of Peoria Boys and Girls Club. League of Innovations and Community Colleges. He has published 8 articles in the Educational Research and Education on Minorities in Higher Education. Where this man finds the time to do this, I have no idea. But the list does speak volumes about Mr. Mendoza and his passion. If I may just digress a little bit, I believe that it would be appropriate, and I believe Jose would want me to do this, to not only acknowledge the ACE, the students here from the ACE Plus program, but to explain to them and to reiterate to them, and they moved on me, so I'm not sure where they're at. I think I got some over here and I got some over here, that it is possible. It is possible for you to graduate from college. It is something that was in, that is within your grasp. I would also like to leave you with a phrase that he used to use, a phrase that has stuck to me to this date. He used to say to me, Manuel, no mañana maybes. No mañana maybes. If you think about that, as I was walking out the door, he'd tell me, what that essentially means is, loosely translated, don't put off tomorrow what needs to be done today. And so you students who are here, if you do what you need to do, get it done. It is possible. Everything else will fall in place. Jose, if it was not for your efforts, I would not be here today. Thank you for your tireless work, your dedication from myself, from GHN, and from the city of Glendale. Ladies and gentlemen, Jose Mendoza.
I do have just some brief remarks, and I was doing some last-minute editing for political correctness, but I'm so honored to be among many of my closest friends and supporters who I have known and have so much respect for. I am so pleased that members of my family are present, knowing full well that I have probably pushed their patience to the limit in my efforts to change the world to help make it better. Thanks to my wife for 43 years, Rosie, our oldest daughter, Debbie, our son, Joseph, and our son, Jack, Joaquin. Thanks to my family, who are great parents, for providing us with the greatest joys of our lives, our grandkids, and two great-grandkids. There's no greater joy than being a tata, as it is just so much fun being around them and watching their antics. Oh, I need to mention that we had a last-minute member of our family that showed up, and I'm so glad he's here. As Andres Ortega, you know, is Debbie's baby, Andrew. Yeah. What I am involved with and what I have done and continue to do, I know that it has required their moral support. Without that, I don't know what I would have done. I know that it has required the personal adjustments to withstand my deeply embedded personal sentiments asking for our communities to do the right thing for equality and justice. I am so proud of the many GCC graduates who have used their education to make things better for others and their community. I do consider myself very fortunate that I personally knew civil rights leaders, Cesar Chavez, Reverend Abernathy, Dolores Huerta, and Coretta King, and actually participated in civil rights demonstrations, marches, and protests. This helped me to reaffirm my commitment to equality and fairness, which I have practiced every day of my life. It's difficult to come up with words that I want to share with you, as those who know me realize that on the issues that are important to me, I can go on and on. I would want to point out that, yes, I do consider myself a caretaker and hopefully a champion for drumming up support and buy-in for principles of equality and fairness in our community. I would be remiss if I did not remind us that this kind of work is far from complete, as we are still light years away from enjoying true commitment for equality and fairness. Others would want to state that we have an African-American president and that our racial divide is now behind us. Further from the truth, we are at a time where people with opposing views can loudly state their disagreement and do so vociferously with blatantly vicious, somewhat racial overtones, as that is the sign of our divisiveness that does exist today in some parts of our country. I feel this burning desire to offset all of the negative things that have been said about Hispanics lately. According to reports on wealth by Dr. Barbara Robles of ASU, Hispanics contribute almost one-third of the buying power and are key consumers of the largest economic system in the world, indicative of their contribution to our nation's economy. Hispanics have been prominent in military service in defense of our nation through two world wars, Korea, Vietnam, and now the Middle East. In Vietnam, where I served, I personally would read the Stars and Stripes forever, and that was in 1968-69, and I would see the daily casualty list, and I was alarmed because a great number of the casualties were of Hispanic background. The great journalist Ruben Salazar of the Los Angeles Times spent 2 years during 1966 through 69 in the battlefields of Vietnam as a reporter and concluded that Hispanics were disproportionately represented in the infantry and frontline troops and suffered a very high casualty rate. He felt that this was not fair and would cost Hispanic communities their young adults in unacceptable numbers. According to studies by the National Archives, Hispanics have an exemplary legacy of military service that has been recognized on the floor of the U.S. House and the Senate many times. Hispanics are willing and proud volunteers for combat during times of war. On November 26, 2007, Silvestre S. Herrera, a great hero of the nation and resident of Glendale and Medal of Honor winner from World War II, he passed away. I am honored to have known such a great man who brought so much honor to Hispanic soldiers and patriots. There is a long and significant list of Hispanic heroes who have received the Congressional Medal of Honor and many more who have received citations for valor in combat. People need to be reminded that Hispanics have always been active members of our military community since the Revolutionary War. Hispanics are not invaders to our country, and they lived in the American Southwest many years before the Alamo, where Tejanos fought bravely for independence from Mexico. Our family, the Mendozas, lived in the Fort Davis area in West Texas way before the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo in 1848. Equality and fairness, as we would all want, appears to be a distant fantasy. According to the Educational Testing Services and their video, The Perfect Storm, the gap in earnings and economic decline is very evident. The haves and have-nots are more evident and could lead to economic disaster of monumental proportions if significant segments of our community are being denied educational opportunities. This economic disparity is impacting ethnic minorities who are clearly losing in the battle for resources and are the have-nots. The census reports came out today about poverty. Many feel strongly that one size fits all and should be the prevailing method to treat people today. It would be if there was a climate of acceptance, tolerance, harmony, and opportunity in all our communities. However, it is evident that all is not equal, and some are advocating policies and laws that would further divide us as a people, community, and country. The dire statements mentioned should make us all much more vigilant as community residents who support humanitarian causes. However, there are good things to celebrate. Many more Hispanics are now enrolled in higher education than ever before. Along with the Hispanics, the students are increasing, Hispanic students are taking pre-college courses and scoring higher in college entrance exams. GC has just set new highs in Hispanic enrollment, tremendous growth in African American enrollment, number one in the district, and visible growth in Native American enrollment, and there are visible increases in refugee students as well, well over 200. Many more Hispanics have joined the middle class and are working in professional positions in government and private companies. Hispanics are now the largest minority group, possibly 60 million, we don't know, in the country, and they have assumed a majority of most of the urban public schools in the nation. However, educational attainment is declining, and we should all be alarmed. Hispanic college graduates are at an all-time high, with many more obtaining graduate and doctoral advanced degrees. Hispanics are starting privately owned businesses in record numbers, and even more are started every day. Hispanics are fast becoming a political force in American movements, political movements, with still much more to do. I do want to close today with a quote that has been attributed to Dr. Martin Luther King, one of the great humanitarian leaders of our time and the world. We must root out injustice wherever we find it, as injustice anywhere will always leave the possibility for injustice everywhere. I think that we can all agree that injustice as a way of life is just not acceptable. Again, thank you very much for your recognition, and most of all for your untiring efforts on behalf of equality and fairness and constructive and positive social change that will only make things better for all our community. Gracias.
Thank you, Jose Mendoza, for those very inspirational words. Now the time has come to introduce our event sponsors, Miguel Bravo of Arizona Public Service.
Thank you, Diana. On behalf of APS, I'd like to share with you how proud we are to be the title sponsor of today's Hispanic Heritage Celebration. We're equally proud of our relationship with the Hispanic Committee, Hispanic Network, I mean, and the City of Glendale. Our relationship with the City of Glendale is one of the most important ones for our business, so thank you for that. Like your great city, APS values diversity, and we do because we serve a diverse customer base of 1.2 million customers, all the way from the Navajo Nation to San Luis, Arizona, where 95% of the residents are Hispanic. So, of course, diversity is important to us. Now, we demonstrate that in a couple of ways that I'd like to share with you briefly today. Over the last 2 years, APS has spent over $150 million with minority women business enterprises. Over the last 3 years, we have invested over $3 million in scholarships at our state universities, community colleges, many of the scholarships going to student groups that are underrepresented. Over the last 2 years, we have spent or invested over $1 million in community development programs that target underserved and minority populations. That's our commitment. That's how we demonstrate our commitment. And now I'd like to introduce Armando Flores, who's a big part of our success. He was at APS for 10 years, as many of you know, worked for many large corporations, and we're very grateful for your contributions, Armando. I'm not going to go through all your community achievements because we know there's many, from United Way to raising $4.5 million for Valle del Sol, Fiesta Bowl chairman. So there's many, many contributions and many, many accomplishments, and we don't have enough time to go through all of that. But I'd like to share with you some comments from colleagues that remember your legacy and say, you know, Armando, I told them I was going to introduce you, and they said, well, here's how I remember Armando. Armando's smile was contagious. Armando, even though I'm a security guard, remembered my name and made me feel important at APS. Armando told me to do the right thing every time. Armando fought to keep employee benefits for our people despite a tremendous pressure to cut costs. So with that, I'd like to introduce Armando and please help me welcome him to the stage.
Muchas gracias, Miguel. you cut my pension in half because I put 17 years in, not 10. And so I hope the benefits department doesn't hear that, because they're going to start an investigation and I could be subject to a reduction in my pension benefit, which these days is not a good thing. First of all, let me extend my appreciation for the opportunity to be with all of you today. In particular, I'd like to recognize our mayor, who's been a friend for a number of years, and it's great to see you again, Mayor, City Council of Glendale. Thank you so much for having me. The Glendale Hispanic Network, thank you for your extension of opportunity. John Carnero, you've made the transition easy from my job at ASU and no tie and no suit to come in here before you today. And to my colleagues and my special friends from APS, I miss you a lot, and it's wonderful to see all of you. Thank you so much. One of the things that I was asked to do is to talk about education, and that's a pretty broad subject. And so for those of you that didn't realize it, dinner will be served at 6 p.m. tonight. But I thought as a backdrop to some of my comments, I would talk just a little bit about myself, and so you could put things in perspective, because today what I'm going to share with you is really some insights, some experiences, and some observations that I've had in my career. And so I'm not going to put a lot of graphs up with bell-shaped curves and standard deviations and statistics, because I really don't believe that those do a whole lot of good other than just bore people, especially after you've had a big plate of rice and beans. So let me just begin by saying that I'm not unique from the standpoint of a lot of people that are here in this room today. Both sets of my grandparents came over from Mexico. They came over undocumented. They spent over 60 years living in California. Their children would go out for 2 or 3 weeks at a time and work in the crops, picking whatever fruit or vegetables was available at the time, and they would come back. And my mother graduated from high school because the truant officer in those days used to come and make the rounds in the Hispanic section of the community and remind everyone that school was mandatory. And so they always started school 2 or 3 or 4 weeks late, but they always ended up going because it was the law. My father was part of a migrant farm working family. They moved around from place to place because that's where the agricultural opportunities were. And he dropped out of school in the 7th grade. The wonderful thing about my parents was that they saw the value of education, regardless of any shortcomings they had in their own educational experience. I'm the oldest of 5. I learned Spanish before I learned English because both my parents worked, and they left me with my grandparents. And so my grandparents, not knowing any English, I learned Spanish first and eventually picked up English when I started in kindergarten and elementary school. No one in my family. I have 41 first cousins. For any of you that have seen the movie Fools Rush In and you say it's just going to be family that's there. When you bring somebody over, a guest, they're shocked to see 75 people at the event, and they wonder why you misrepresented the attendance. And the attendance is accurate because they are all family, and so it just keeps on getting bigger and bigger. But out of 41 first cousins, I was the first one to graduate from a 4-year institution, first one to get a master's degree, and the only one to ever work in the corporate world. And I worked for 4 different corporations. And the only claim to fame that I have, because after taking many, many intelligence tests, the Stanford-Binet, the Wechsler test, for those of you that majored in education, I always tested out in the median. And that's one of the reasons I'm totally against testing today, because those tests can't be right. I knew I was smarter than that, but every time I got the paperwork back, I was in the middle. And that just couldn't possibly be. I was, unlike those people that were up here and showed humility and said that they didn't think they were ready for college and they were fortunate, I knew I was ready. I knew given the chance I was going to succeed, and I knew that I had what it took because people told me that I didn't. And when they tell you you can't, you know you can. And so, career-wise, the only application I ever filled out was for the first job I ever had in corporate America. That was with Boise Cascade Corporation, 38,000 employees. From there, the next three corporations that I worked for all came after me via a search firm, all flew me to their headquarters, all provided temporary housing, all negotiated salary, all waived pre-existing conditions, all credited me with accredited years of service towards my pension. Why is that, that all of that happened? Well, that's what I want to talk about today, remembering that I only tested in the median of the IQ exams. So I didn't have anything special that compared to anyone else. So with that, let me show you the first slide that I have, which I think is appropriate. It's kind of a transition point. This is a quote I really like by former President John F. Kennedy. The goal of education is the advancement of knowledge and dissemination of truth. And I think that says it all in as few words as can be said. And then Marion Wright Edelman says, if we don't stand up for children, then we don't stand for much. And I truly believe that in my heart of hearts, that we have to think of children, we have to think of our children, and we have to think of other people's children, because we are a community. And it's not a responsibility, it's an obligation. It's an obligation. If we're truly going to be a part of the community, we have to be concerned about children, and we have to stand up for children in any way that we can. This next slide is just an educational pyramid that shows down at the bottom, it starts at the elementary school and it goes on up through the different components of education leading to postgraduate work. And on the right-hand side, you'll see that ascending up the ladder of education, what one benefits from is a greater scope of knowledge, greater opportunities come with education, certainly over a lifetime, greater levels of earnings, organizational success, and of course, personal development. But sadly, on the left-hand side of that pyramid is the fact that nationwide, 37% of Latinos are dropping out of high school. And yes, we are the number one ethnic minority in America. And I have a lot of people that I hear when they are delivering talks or discussions who are very proud of that. And I believe that there should be an asterisk next to that, because we should be proud of our culture. We should be proud of our Hispanic heritage and our community. But we should be ashamed of the fact that we are not progressing vertically up the educational ladder, but merely growing in numbers. And that is really, really a tragedy. A tragedy that we ought to be addressing each and every day through our own personal efforts. So, let me talk a little bit about some of the educational challenges that you're familiar with. I'm not going to dwell on a lot of them, but it's just a reminder that these things are very real and they exist today. We have lack of resources. We know what the economy is today. We know what budgets are, and we know that resources are suffering in the educational institutions as a result of the economy. Performance accountability. Sometimes I feel like we have accountability in the schools. Sometimes I don't, depending on what the particular teacher, the particular school is that we're talking about. Teachers are undercompensated. My question is, how can we entrust our children and their futures to teachers and we pay them so little? It doesn't make any sense. It just doesn't make any sense to me. And then you've got administrators, you've got school boards, you've got parents, and you've got teachers, all with different agendas in most cases. Sometimes they overlap, but in most cases, I'm not sure they're ever in sync and ever remember that the cornerstone of their jobs, their organizations, their existence should be the welfare and the education of the children, without question. That cornerstone of the children as a priority should never, ever be questioned. We use test scores as a primary measure of achievement. I believe that that test score should be one factor to evaluate children's progress, but not the only factor. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. There's one teaching method. People get in front of the classroom, teachers do. They lecture, they read, they go to the board, but everybody in the class, and these days elementary school classes are overrun with numbers rather than having a reasonable number of children for the teachers to really concentrate on. And so what happens is that there are children in that class who have every bit the ability that other children have, but their learning process is different than somebody else's. And we never take that into consideration. I have three sons. My oldest son graduated with an undergraduate degree. He got his master's, his MBA from Arizona State. My middle son, Matthew, was someone I tried to mainstream just like the other two, just like my other sons. And he went to two universities each a year at a time. And finally he said, "Dad, this traditional curriculum just isn't for me. And I just can't go back." And I finally realized that I had made a mistake that cost him 2 years of education, because he was really geared more towards creativity and art and computers and technology. And so he got his undergraduate degree from the Phoenix Art Institute in computer graphic design with a focus on special effects. Well, if I didn't realize that for 2 years just with my own son, how many other children are we overlooking that could be learning, could be progressing educationally and getting a degree, but they're in the wrong track? We need to always be aware of that no two children are exactly alike. Even our own children aren't. My third son is a senior at Arizona State. He'll graduate in May. And in two generations, we will have gone from my father, who only went to the seventh grade, to 100% of the generation that follows me in my family to have graduated from a four-year institution. And so my parents did a good job, and their work was not in vain. That story can be overlapped onto any family in the state of Arizona if we only do our part to make it happen. So let me talk a little bit about cultural changes, cultural challenges, that is. I talked about lack of resources. I talked about measurements for achievement, et cetera, et cetera. Now let me talk about some of the cultural challenges, because we have two sets of challenges if you happen to be from a Hispanic or Latino background. First of all, I talked about the dropout rate, 37% nationally, Arizona 40%. So we're even a few percentage points lower than the national average. Those Hispanics that do graduate from high school, a high percentage have a lower proficiency rate. In three areas: reading, math, science, critical areas that require proficiency to be successful at the next level. Many of us speak Spanish as a first language. That's great. We should be proud of that. However, if a person expects to do well academically, if a person expects to get a job and to be successful in that job, whatever chosen position they would pursue, you have to know English. It's imperative, because English is the first language of the United States. And knowing five languages is great, and I'm proud to know two languages, but there's no way I could have been an executive vice president of Arizona Public Service had I not had a strong command of the English language. And it doesn't mean you have to turn your back on your culture, your family, or your language. It just means that there's an additional thing that you have to include in your repertoire of skills. That is the proficiency of English. We're guilty of several things. Some of those family values that we have are wonderful. I'm very, very proud of the family values that our culture represents. Unfortunately, there are some that work against us sometimes. We're warm, we're friendly. I mean, when Miguel introduced me, we hugged. I didn't want to hug him, but, you know, I'm a nice guy, so I hugged him. And so, you know, we hug each other now and then. And even when you don't want to hug somebody, you go ahead and do it because, you know, we're Latinos. We're from a warm and friendly culture. But then we're also taught humility and strong emphasis on humility. If you're offered a bowl of candy when you go to someone's house, you only take one. You never take more than one. If they pass the dish around again, no thank you. If there's a line forming for whatever it is that's being given out, you never get in line first. Because it's not polite. Let somebody else go forward. Well, when we get in the workplace, guess what happens? We let other people go first also. Because that's how we were trained. That's what we were taught. If there's only one position, and we know somebody we know wants that position, we're hesitant to compete. Because we were taught humility. And it isn't in every case, but in some cases it plays a major, major role. Family comes first in our culture, always. And yet, sometimes that works against us. Everybody in my family lives within 30 miles of each other. Very typical. Some live next door, some live across the street. Some live in the little chicken coop in the back. And I'm the only one that ever, ever left Northern California, left my community, went and lived in four different states in seven different cities. And it was a family sacrilege when I left. And the number one quality that mothers in the Hispanic culture are known for is guilt. Guilt. Don't worry about me. I'm only your mother. If you want to go to another state to go to school or go to work, don't worry about us. We're going to be fine. And when I was in graduate school and my mother would call and my sisters were coming in at 1 o'clock in the morning and they were supposed to be home at 11. I'm two or three states away in the state of Oregon doing my graduate work. And my mother would say, your sisters are not doing what I'm telling them to do. They're coming in at 1 o'clock in the morning. I want them home at 11. I want you to do something. Well, put them on the phone. No, I want you to come home and talk to them. Well, Mom, I can't because I got to work and I also have to go to school. Well, if you don't care about your family and you don't care about your mother, then I guess there's no sense in continuing this conversation because I thought you really cared and you loved us, but obviously you don't. Guilt, guilt, guilt. What did I do? I got a plane ticket and I went. I had to. We have fewer role models because there aren't as many of us that have graduated from colleges. We need role models. We need people to reach out. Model the appropriate behavior. We have a culture clash. We belong to two cultures. We're Hispanic, but we're also Hispanic Americans. And so we have to know the ways of both cultures. I don't know how many of you saw the movie Selena. James Olmos played the father, and he said that the Mexicans expect us to be Mexican and the Americans expect us to be American. And he said it's exhausting trying to be both. And I wouldn't go that far, but in the business world, you can't be too Hispanic because pretty soon people say, well, they're not really fitting in. Nobody ever knows what that means. But you hear it in the workplace all the time. They just don't fit in. What does that mean? I've never known what that meant. But then if you're part of the Hispanic culture and then you go out and you play golf with some of the business people, I say, well, who does that guy think he is? Come on. You know? It's a balance. And while we think that equality is strong, in many areas there is equality, but in many areas there is not. And we have to keep working for that equality for everyone, not just Hispanics, but for everyone. There's something that I call the five-card complacency. When you play poker, you get five cards. Many people are so busy, worried about complaining that somebody else got five cards and they only got two cards to play in life, or three cards, or less than five cards, that they're spending needless energy on negative issues than they are positive issues. The name of the game is life is not fair. The name of the game is you got a certain number of cards to play. Recognize that you only got so many cards. Play those cards to the best of your ability and don't worry about the people next to you and how many cards or what cards they got. So what is it that we can do? This next slide is going to talk a little bit about some of the things that we can do. I've talked about English proficiency. And even for families that speak Spanish as a first language in homes, there are other places that people can learn English. And one is through volunteering in, say, at the Boys and Girls Club. And you talk to the director, the athletic director, the director, and you say, hey, I'd like to bring somebody in that needs to learn English. They want to help out. You don't have to pay them. But the whole motivation here is to learn English. That's just one example. One of the things I like to do with young kids that don't speak English very well is I take them to the mall. In the mall, there's a myriad of opportunities. We're going to go to the mall. We're going to go to the store. We're going to go to the bookstore. We're going to go to the shoe store, clothing store, etc., etc. And there are so many things to talk about. Listening to tapes and repeating over and over what a tape tells you to repeat is not learning. It's memorizing. And to me, that just doesn't work. I have friends that say, how do I learn Spanish? You want to learn Spanish? Go to work in a Mexican restaurant where no English is spoken. Work there every Saturday. You're going to be proficient in about 2 months. Plus, you're going to learn some great dishes like carnitas that you probably never order. But immersion is probably the best way to learn the language, any language, than it is via tapes or books. So we know about lifestyle because I've talked about that. We've talked about family coming first. But we have to model the behavior. We have to show respect for each other in the home, respect for our children. We have to demand acceptable language. My children have never, ever, ever heard me say a swear word at home, ever. I have always taught them to respect their mother, even if their mother, in the middle of the night, said, isn't the day beautiful and the sunrise beautiful? Because it's clear that it's daytime. Your mother is your mother. If she says it's daytime, you have to respect her right to her opinion because she is your mother. You do not criticize her. And she is the most important person in your life. It's not me, it's your mother. They have lived with that from day one. Integrity. If you live your life at home, at work, in the community as a person of integrity, that rubs off on your children. You are the role model. You don't have to say anything to them. I never once raised my hand to my children. The strongest words I ever said to them was, I wanted to talk to you for a couple of seconds because today I feel extremely disappointed. That word disappointed said it all to them. They were crushed. Because they knew that I don't ever lose my temper. And when I said I'm disappointed, that was like the sky was falling. So there was no need to say anything else. No yelling, no screaming. No, I'm going to take this away and turn it into a negative. Because what happens? They get angry. They get emotional. They want to retaliate. They want to fight back. They want to prove to you when they're teenagers they know more than you do. But you can have a civil conversation if you start at the very beginning. And from the day they were born, every day that I could remember, I told them they were going to college. Everyone was going to college. There was no question. And what did we do? We took a ride to the college campus, walked around. We went to college football games, college basketball games, concerts. So that when the time came for them to go to high school, they realized that the next juncture in their academic journey was college. And it wasn't a foreign concept to them. They recognized that that was already in the plan, and that was part of the plan that they had to put a check mark next to as they progressed through life. Something that really bothers me is the fact that in many of our grammar schools in particular, our small children, our young children, it's difficult for them to learn because they don't have full stomachs. They don't get enough to eat. And so a lot of our schools are on 100% federal subsidies. And a child that's hungry isn't going to learn. And it's our job to make sure that schools do have nourishment for our children. In some schools, they give them peanut butter and jam sandwiches before they leave in the afternoon. Why? Because in many cases, that's going to be the last meal they have. And so it's not about fighting the school board, and it's not about fighting the legislature, although all of that does come into play. It's about asking ourselves, what can we do on a smaller scale to make a difference in one child's life at a time? I believe that being a part of two cultures is an advantage. I think it makes you a member of a broader community. You have broader skill sets. And I believe that it certainly makes you as effective, if not more effective, in some circles of the workplace. But it's important for us as parents and grandparents and uncles and aunts and community leaders to encourage parents to go to parents' night, be involved in their children's schooling, go to the open houses, schedule teachers' meetings just to get a progress report instead of going as part of the multitudes and the masses that go in and go and look at the board and never have a chance to have a meaningful conversation with the teachers. Know the administrators. And then volunteer. Even if your kids are already grown, volunteer and help somebody else out. Give back. Give back for the great opportunities that you took advantage of so that somebody else has the same or similar opportunity as they come up. And so, I leave you with the thought that education is a very broad subject with a lot of different facets that make up the whole. But one facet is personal and individual involvement and contribution, and I really believe that that is our responsibility, and we should live with that each and every day. Not everybody can give money, but you can buy 2 packs of pencils and donate it to the school. You can buy paper. You can buy erasers. If it's $10 to go on the field trip, and not everybody has the $10, you can pay for one more student to go on that field trip. Those are the kinds of things that children remember. They certainly remember when they were one of 2 children that didn't get to go on the field trip because they couldn't afford it. All of that lays the foundation for the future. So I can't overemphasize the fact that it's our responsibility to take up the challenge of education in our state, in our community, and certainly in our families. I want to leave you with a couple of quotes. The first one is, don't look down on another person unless you're leaning over to help them up. And the second one is Dr. Seuss. Unless someone like you cares a whole awful lot, nothing is going to get better. It's not. And then finally, this is my closing thought. Failure to educate is not an option for any of us. And so we have to do our part. And we have to be pained every time we hear of a child that doesn't get the opportunity to be educated, because that pain is felt, should be felt throughout the community, as unless until every child gets the opportunity that they deserve, because they are part of our community. And so I ask you to step up individually and to recognize that our responsibility for education goes much beyond just ourselves. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Armando. I've had the pleasure of hearing you speak several times, and every single time there's something new and valuable to take away. Thank you very much. And we have one more speaker to introduce today. It's Don Logan, City Diversity Administrator.
Diana, thank you. When the committee got together and planned today's program, initially the city manager, Ed Beasley, was going to give the closing remarks. But Ed had a conflict, and we didn't expect him to be here. But apparently this had an impact on him, where he's still here, so somebody's waiting for you, Ed. Thank you all for being here today. This doesn't just happen. This has been a work in progress for some time. So special thanks to the Glendale Hispanic Network Board for your direction. And a special shout out to John Canaro, who chaired the planning committee and for the most part had to put up with me. So John, thank you for your perseverance and bringing this group together. But I'd also be remiss if I didn't thank our MC for her due diligence today, Diana, representing SRP. And also to Armando for that presentation that is so inspiring. I've known Armando for a very long time. And I never knew that we call it the brother hug, that he resented the fact that he didn't want a hug. So we refer to these events as professional development. I learned something, Armando, far more than the teasing that I have thrown your way, about the value of education, the commitment to education, and some of the challenges that come with cultures, culture clash, and the opportunities as well. And I think your end quote is very fitting in terms of the fact that education is not an opportunity for us to pursue. And we all should have to do and should be willing to do our part. Again, congratulations to the city of Glendale, who, like many other communities across this country, are celebrating National Hispanic Heritage Month that focuses on the many contributions that Hispanics across this country and Hispanics here in this city are doing to make Glendale a better community. Mayor, I think you said it best. We get to step outside or inside, away from the political challenges that we're dealing with here in this state, and we get to come together and talk about how we look at the differences that we all bring to the table as an opportunity as opposed to a threat. So thank you for your indulgence. Thank you, everyone, for giving us an opportunity to reflect on Hispanic Heritage Month. Thank you.
Thank you, Don Logan. And we are going to pass it over to Ernie Ruiz to give the closing remarks and thank everyone for being here today.
Again, I want to thank everybody for attending today's beautiful event. We'd like to thank our city manager, Ed Beasley, and our interim city manager, Horatio Skeet, today for allowing us to and supporting us on this event today. The Glendale Hispanic Network and the diversity in Glendale is a big part of my life. That's why I participated for the last 8 years with the Glendale Hispanic Network. This year is my last year. I come off the board. Lorena Sanchez takes over as our president-elect coming in January. And I want to thank the city for allowing me to be a part of the Glendale Hispanic Network and, you know, bring these beautiful events with our committees to the city and to our employees. I would also like to take this opportunity to go ahead and thank at this time Armando Flores, who did a great job on our keynote speaker, and Diana Diaz for helping us out today with our emceeing. On the back of your programs, each one of you, each table has a dot on the back of the program, and we wanted to just remind everybody to take a look at the back of the program, and whoever got the dot gets the centerpiece. And they're beautiful centerpieces, by the way. I think they're great. We would also like to, at this time, before you all get up, we have the awards, or not awards, the gifts for our keynote and Diana. John, do you want to come up, please, too? Again, thank you all for attending, and have a great day, and celebrate Hispanic Heritage Month for the rest of the month.